morning, everyone, and welcome to the 32nd Lord's Day on Catechism 2021. I'll pray and we will get right into it. We're looking at quickly a review of where we are in the year, and then the questions today, along with a cross-reference that will help get us started and get us oriented on the direction the questions go. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for your spirit within us. Thank you for Christ living and dying for us, your power in his resurrection and giving us the hope of eternal life. We worship you. We thank you for this day. It's in Jesus we pray. Amen. All right, so today is the last day of, right here, the last day of part two, deliverance in Christ. Okay, and so we've, right here, if you see this 32, that means the 32nd Lord's Day. That's where we are. Remember, the overall scheme of the catechism is very simple. It's three parts. The misery of sin, number one, and then deliverance in Christ, right? Saving us from sin, delivering us from the misery of sin and the consequences of sin and all that's entailed there. Part one, the misery of sin. Part two, deliverance in Christ. We're on the very last day, the very last set of questions for that section. And then next week we begin part three, the gratitude of the redeemed, or simply gratitude for those who've been saved by Christ, saved from sin, now live a life of gratitude, laying our lives down as servants of Christ, loving him, grateful to serve him, not begrudging, but grateful. And that basically is Christian living. It'll summarize Christian living. All right, so that's where we are. We're on the very last lesson, the very last Lord's Day of part two, deliverance in Christ. And then we move on to gratitude of the redeemed, or simply gratitude next week. All right, Lord's Day number 32, question 89. What are the keys of the kingdom? Now, that is the cross-reference we're going to look at, so that you have some frame of reference for where that's coming from. What are the keys of the kingdom? Speaking about the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, okay? The preaching of the Holy Gospel, that's number one, and Christian discipline toward repentance, that's number two. Those are the keys. Both preaching and discipline open the kingdom of heaven to believers and close it to unbelievers. The keys of the kingdom is a metaphor. Keys, we don't have actual keys. If you come to the church, we can't show you a set of keys and say these are the keys to the kingdom. But it's the ministry of the gospel and the ministry of biblical Christian discipline for the sake of repentance are the keys of the kingdom. It's a metaphor referring to authority. It's authority to proclaim who has access to the kingdom of God, and that is those who believe in Christ, those who've been born again. There's your summary. Let's go ahead to a cross-reference. Call that up here. There it is. That should be in front of me. Let's see if we can do it. There we go. Do not need my face up there, covering part of Matthew 16, 18 through 19. This is Jesus speaking to Peter. Peter functioning as a representative leader of the apostles. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. Peter had just confessed Christ as Lord and Savior, the Son of God, the Holy One of God. It's Peter in this role, Peter confessing Christ, or Peter professing Christ as Lord and Savior. It'll be the foundation rock, the foundation stone upon which Christ will build his church. And that's what he says. On this rock I will build my church. Notice that Christ is the one doing the building. I will build. Notice the church belongs to Christ and him alone. My church. And he says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Some of your translations say the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. Not going into all the details and background there, but that is a representative of all the enemies of God. Gates of Hades or gates of hell. That's what that means. It's a phrase that represents all the enemies of God. And the point here is all the enemies of God cannot prevail against Christ building his church or against Christ's church itself. will not prevail against him. Darkness shall not overtake the light. Rather, it's the light that pushes back the darkness and overcomes the darkness. Jesus saving people out of the darkness. I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, in that context, verse 19, Jesus continues, I will give you, Peter, you, the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The authority to announce who has access to the kingdom of heaven, the authority to announce who has access into the dwelling place of God himself, the preaching of the gospel, first and foremost. And then for those who profess faith in the gospel, biblical Christian discipline toward repentance. Now we don't have time in a little catechism devotion on one Lord's Day to go into all the cross references and study behind that. But I wanted you to see the verse where this comes from, keys of the kingdom of heaven. It has apostolic authority, first and foremost, Peter, representative leader of the apostles. And then after the apostolic age, which is a unique and foundational age for the church, where the church is established, the New Testament is given after that, and true biblical churches who follow in the apostolic tradition, the apostolic, which means from the apostles, or according to the apostles, gospel, the apostolic gospel, and the biblical practice of church discipline for the sake of repentance. If you have any questions about any of that, message me or email me. Go to our website. Find my email address. And here we go. Now we're back on the Lord's Day. Give you a little bit of context for understanding why this question is so important. What are the keys to the kingdom? It's so important. We don't have the authority to tell someone they can have access to fellowship with God in some way other than the gospel. All right, just one example of how practical and how important this is. Let's finish this up here. Question 90, how does preaching the gospel open and close the kingdom of heaven? The kingdom of heaven is opened by proclaiming and publicly declaring to all believers, each and every one, that as often as they accept the gospel promise in true faith, God, because of what Christ has done, truly forgives all their sins. The kingdom of heaven is closed, however, by proclaiming and publicly declaring to unbelievers and hypocrites that as long as they do not repent, the anger of God and eternal condemnation rest on them. So the authority to proclaim forgiveness in Christ without qualification. If you are in Christ, there is forgiveness of sins, period. And if you are not in Christ, the kingdom is closed to you. You've not entered. And hypocrites here means those who profess faith but are living double lives. They're hypocrites. They're liars. They're pretenders. God's judgment, both in this life and in the life to come, is based on this gospel testimony. The gospel is the heart of this issue. Question 91. How is the kingdom of heaven closed and opened by Christian discipline? Those who, though called Christians, profess unchristian teachings or live unchristian lives, and after repeated and loving counsel, refuse to abandon their errors and wickedness, and after being reported to the church, that is, to its officers, fail to respond also to their admonition, such persons the officers exclude from the Christian fellowship by withholding the sacraments, Lord's Supper, from them, and God himself excludes them from the kingdom of Christ. Such persons, when promising and demonstrating genuine reform, are warmly, compassionately received, again, as members of Christ and of his church. That's repentance. All right, so professing unbiblical teachings, living in a blatantly unchristian way, and after, here's one of the keys, after repeated and loving counsel, to help toward a way of truth, that's rejected and refused, to be disfellowshipped. And the point of that is not to harm them, but to help them, that they would be brought to repentance. Next week, part 3, the gratitude of the redeemed. I'm looking forward to that. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for Jesus and the forgiveness of sins. It's in him that we hope. It's in him that we live and die. It's in him that we come to you with this prayer and ask for your help and your guidance in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks again for joining. God bless you. Have a great Lord's Day. I'll see you tomorrow for Confession of Faith, week 32. And I'll see you next week for the 33rd Lord's Day. God bless you.